Well, let's jump into today. I want to talk about this thing called the Five Pillars of Health. Bob Richards, on our last DVD that was shown at the Rhythm of Nikan events in 74 sites around North America, said there's three things that separates Nikan from the rest of the network marketing industry. It is obviously our great product line, the Wellness Home products, our business opportunity, and third and most importantly in my book, and I'll share why, is the Five Pillars of Health. Is it just a philosophy? Is it just some fancy words or a mission statement, or is it something that we actually apply to our lives and to our structure, our day-to-day living, and strive to live it out? One of the bottom line things that changed my life when I went full-time in Nikan was this concept called balance. And prior to Nikan, prior to doing it full-time, I was working about 60, 70 hours a week at a ministry in Oklahoma. Every weekend I traveled doing youth conventions all over North America. And then during the week, from 8 to 5, I did PR and marketing. And then I also worked as a men's RA, resident assistant for the single men's that worked for the ministry. So I always told people I had a lot of free time between midnight and 5 a.m. So, if they wanted to hook up, that would be the time to do it. So it made dating, basically, very, very difficult, but we managed to work it out. But what really is that? And I've asked Matt McNeil, who is a full-time missionary in the Philippines, to join us on the call this morning. It's actually it's 10 p.m. at night for you, correct, Matt?
Yes. That's right, 10 o'clock.
So you're getting ready to go to bed, and I know you well enough to know that you don't stay up too much later than 10 p.m. because the sun comes up and sets at the same time every single day for you guys. What is that, 6 to 6?
6 to 6. We get a good 12 hours.
And that's how it is every single day. There's no such change at all. Matt, one of the things that, first of all, to remind folks, the five pillars of health, healthy mind, body, family, finances, and society. Let me say it this way. I know Stacy and I have been friends with a lot of people, known a lot of people over the years that have this mentality, and I don't think Americans here in the States are any different in that, we feel that we get a cause or we get our teeth sunk into something and we're just supposed to just go ballistic and burn out, light the candle at both ends in the middle until we, get it accomplished and, carpe diem, seize the day and all this other stuff. The problem is we end up burning out or we end up sacrificing one area or the other. You and Chris have lived overseas for over 10 years now. The fallout rate of a lot of people that work in international community development, like what you guys are doing, is pretty high, and that people often sacrifice one area. We're friends with a couple right now who have served as missionaries for several years, and they had to come off the field because their marriage is headed down a road that would not be a very good example, being missionaries and having your marriage fall apart. How do you guys keep it balanced?
Well, for us, I think the most important thing, obviously, is, being missionaries, we have to cultivate a positive and healthy spiritual life, obviously, but also we have the opportunity to surround ourselves with good friends such as you and Stacy, but even here on the mission field, try to find people that we can identify with and share our lives with, but also building a great team helps. And probably the most important is to make sure we spend time with each other and with our family and trying to get over the beach every once in a while. But it can be a challenge. There's always ups and downs doing what we're doing. One of the biggest challenges is what missionaries refer to as cultural fatigue, and I think just understanding that it's going to happen, I think it helped us in life knowing that everything's not always a bed of Yeah, we've been over here almost 15 years now, and it's more than just plugging along one day at a time. It's kind of that carpe diem thing. It's just reach out, seize the day, and realize that every day provides a great opportunity that you can just maximize. I think most of it is a lot about just attitude.
Okay. What and for the folks who either missed the call when I interviewed McKenna and Jesse, you guys do quite a variety of things, and the two biggest ones are the maternity clinic and then the ropes course, Outland Adventure.
Right.
And we weren't a part of the birth of, no pun intended there, of the maternity clinic, but today, that's been going for how many years now?
Mercy Maternity Center has been going on now, a little over 11 years.
Okay, and you've crossed, what is it, 11,000 babies that you've helped birth?
We're approaching, I think they're very close to baby number 12,000.
Holy smokes. And
so a few.
Just a few. And that whole clinic is run single-handedly a lot by what Chris is doing, your wife, and a team of basically volunteers. I mean, nobody's paid.
Yes.
Correct?
No, yes, that's correct. We have a staff, a volunteer staff of about 20 midwives, and all of the services are free. It's all charity. Actually, it's the largest charity-based maternity clinic in the country. And, everyone's a volunteer midwife, and no one receives any wages for what they do. And Chris is the heads that up as the director.
Okay. I want to come back to that, and I want to segue here because a lot of people on the call are Nikan Wellness Consultants, and they're thinking to themselves, now, Vance, what does this have to do with building our Nikan business? And it has everything to do with it, and I'm going to make go full circle here and talk about this again, the concept of balance. And, you know, Stacy and I, in the approaching 12 years that we've been married here in 3 months' time, yeah, the thing that we constantly have, I guess the question or the statement that we hear from people, things like, you know, when we get to be successful or when we get to your level or when we get to earning that kind of money, then we're looking forward to doing that. And I always look at them and, you know, used to, you know, approach it lightly, but not so much anymore. And, you know, my greatest challenge to people today is if you're not doing what you want to do and incorporating it into your lifestyle, then it's not going to happen with that someday mentality. It's that modern American, you know, someday I'm going to retire. I'm going to get that big RV and go see this great country of ours. It won't happen. And that someday, it's like the people that go want to say all their life they want to go on an Alaskan cruise. And a lot of folks pull it off. What's sad is it's always preceded by, you know, before I die. And right now, statistically, the cruise line haul in America has 14 people every week that die while they're on that cruise. And, you know, there's 350 wheelchairs accessible, available on every ship that does the Alaskan itinerary because people just have that someday mentality or that before I die. And that's not the way life should live. Let's look at, you know, a healthy family. Are our families in balance? And we've been around people whose families are not in balance in the fact that they want their kids to always be kids or they're best friends with their kids. And that's not the role of the parent. You know, we should have a good time and enjoy them. But that family, all five of these areas, no one is more important than the other. We should learn how to spend quality time. We play a lot of games. Our oldest daughter, McKenna, is quite the card shark. And people are scared to play certain card games with her because she's very, very good. I'm not talking about poker and all the stuff that some people could, you know, deem as gambling, because that's just not something we do. It's fun games that really challenge the thinking process, and Emily's becoming quite her own, you know, as well. Let's talk about the healthy body. I grabbed a testimony that came down the pike, and it segues right in with the healthy family, and I'm just going to read this. It's called Angela's Story. talking about autism symptoms and restless sleep in a four-year-old girl. Angela is my four-year-old daughter, a pretty girl born with a lot of difficulties. She was born with respiratory problems, trouble walking, eating, and chronic digestive problems, basically symptoms of autism. Nonverbal, not even sounds, did not smile or did not laugh. Depressed, I guess. Sleeping problems, she never slept. She banged her head against the wall or furniture, no eye contact whatsoever. Sleeping was hard to come by for my wife and I. We were both really sad because of our daughter's conditions. No energy, no hope. No solutions were offered. Just bad news from the doctor saying it would only get worse as she grew up. We were literally at wit's end. We were hoping and praying to get help. Then one day I bumped into Niken and my life changed instantly forever. When I got home with the products, my daughter was asleep, and I placed the magnetic pad on the bed and placed Angela on top of it. Wow. Angela slept way better. Breathing was instantaneously quiet. It was a miracle. How could this be, and why didn't I know about it sooner? I was excited and upset at the same time. I felt blessed, but could not understand why I had to wait 4 years to find these great products. Angela spoke 5 days later. We were both hysterical. She is now happy, runs, jumps, talks, hugs, sings, and Daddy does too. We are in love with life again. I see a better future for my daughter and my family, thanks to these wonderful products. I am forever grateful, and I wanted to share this with everybody that I come in contact with. Signed, Al Sagawa, a now very happy and excited man. 4 years having a daughter that didn't sleep or didn't speak. I mean, you could say that's a little slow on the learning curve, but that's short of a miracle that this life has changed. Both healthy family and the healthy body were definitely covered in that area. What does it mean to have a healthy mind? This is an area where a lot of Americans fall prey. We've got vast resources available that we can challenge and change our mind, and yet so often we fall prey to the boxes that sit in our living rooms. We have some friends that actually live in Tulsa, and I remember one year we were visiting them, and she said, "I just can't wait for summer to get here." And I'm like thinking, oh, you know, they're going to go on trips or vacations. And I said, "Really, why?" And she said, "Well, because it won't be regular shows anymore. It'll just all be reruns." And I was just dumbfounded. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, by the time we TiVo all of our shows that we want to watch, that we want to take in, and then we, you know, get the kids to bed and start watching them at like 9:30, 10, it's 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning by the time we finish watching them every day, and then having to get up at 6:30 to start the day all over again." And I guess my thought instantaneously at that point was, who's in control here? You know, it's our responsibility to, you know, have fun and take part in entertainment, but at the same time, we've got to learn to, put the remote control down and turn it off. On our remote control, I have a fortune cookie, and it says, "Idleness is the holiday of fools." There are other things we can do for entertainment. I love the way that Dave Johnson says when you look at the American home and you ask yourself the question, how come then is the people that live in the smallest homes that have the largest television sets? And those who live in humongous mansions have the biggest libraries. You know, what's important are things that we value, things that we educate our mind. We're constantly challenging and doing other things. Reading other books, you know, constantly. I'm reading a book right now for fun, and I believe the title is Just Another Guy by Bill Engvall. He's a comedian very similar to Jeff Foxworthy, part of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and one of the things that he says in his book that he learned from his grandfather is love whatever you're doing. And it's a simple statement. And I've, you know, been able to utilize that many times over. But it's taking the time to sit down and read some of the great literature that's out there. I would not consider, you know, Bill Engvall's book one of the great classics in literature. But it's one of those things that, we've got to constantly be educating ourselves. Healthy finances. What does it mean to have healthy finances? I've lived with little and I've lived with plenty, and I prefer the plenty. And this, again, is one of those areas where people say, well, when I start earning more money, then I want to start doing this. It won't happen, because the Bible is very clear when it says, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Wherever our finances are invested and spent now is where they will be invested and spent. Lynch always says, more money just simply makes you more of what you already are. And if we're not investing it into people's lives and the things that are going to change in the future, or change our future, then it's not going to happen. I mean, going on a vacation, buying a memory, this is why the Rogers go on so many cruises, is because it's a very inexpensive vacation. We don't have to think. And, you know, where else could you have a choice of 7 entrees and 5 desserts every night for dinner and not feel guilty about it because it's already paid for? And besides that, I get to entertain and watch my daughters eat things like escargot, which they never would eat because we just don't go to that many French restaurants here locally. And let's wrap it up by talking about healthy society. Can we do more? Nikan's got a great incentive called the Polar Bear Project, which allows us to do things not only in our local communities, but overseas. We've done a couple of these. One was taking vegetable seeds with us when we went to India a few years back. And unbeknownst to us, we had no idea that a monsoon had come through and wiped out that year's crop, or that season's crop, I should say. So these people were, you know, caught off guard and not have, you know, they didn't have a harvest because the rains wiped it out. Well, each and every person that we visited and worked with, we were able to pass on vegetable seeds to give them a leg up. Something simple, and all we did was generate the money at a product launch that happened a few months prior here in Portland, Oregon, and we carted the seeds all the way with us. When it comes to healthy society, I'm going to go back to you now, Matt, and there are things that you guys are doing, obviously. When you said that the Mercy Maternity Clinic is the largest facility there in the country that's run by volunteers, how did it come about? Because there's a lot of us that will never have the opportunity, but how do you come up with an idea like that and then follow through and get things going? Or how could other people be involved in something like that? Let's go back to the beginning. How did it all start?
Well, we had had as missionaries oftentimes, and just seen this happen in so many different ways, is I think a lot of people they do a lot of talking about God, but I think they really fall short in trying to show people that God really cares for them in a practical and relevant way, and we've just discovered over the years that the best way to do it was just hands-on, instead of preaching at them from behind a box or a pulpit, was to get our hands on them. And my wife accidentally, completely unplanned for, we didn't foresee this when we first came over here in 1992, kind of fell into midwifery, and she just realized that this was a very relevant way to touch people's lives. And so we've always had a heart for poor families, especially just really severely impoverished people who are living in just abject poverty. And so 11 years ago, we had a vision to move here to Mindanao. We had been 3 years in Manila, and we transferred down to the Southern Island, which tends to be a bit of a more volatile area, but we've always felt safe here. But there's just a lot of poor people. For example, in 1 square kilometer, there is over 100,000 poor families that live, and that's primarily our target base. And so we just thought if we opened the clinic and provided charity-based free maternal and newborn health care, that people would come. And sure enough, we've really been overwhelmed, but also just for the midwives, I mean, me not personally because I'm not in the birth room, but just to be able to show that person that people care about them and that God cares about them, and to encourage them and to not condemn them for the situation that they're in. And we have a theme here. We have a saying that we constantly repeat, and that is everyone has a story. And if we'll just take the time to listen to these people's stories, oftentimes it can be very heart-wrenching. So now, actually, after 11 years, we really have a new vision that's gone to a much higher level, and our hope is to actually established clinics in other parts of the world. We also run an accredited midwifery school where we provide an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, or even a master's degree of midwifery that's accredited through the National College of Midwifery based in New Mexico, United States. And we receive students actually from all over the world. We have about 15 students here presently with us, and we have another 10 that will be arriving the first week of September. And the wonderful thing is that although it's very expensive to run a clinic like this, we have a very unique setup. We haven't seen this anywhere else being done in the world, which isn't necessarily to say it's not being done, but we haven't been able to find it. And that is the tuition of these students actually go to fund all of the operations of the clinic. But what we're trying to do now, a year from now, we plan on establishing a brand new clinic in Afghanistan. And we have some people who also want to go to the Middle East, as well as Africa. Hopefully we're also targeting India. But the opportunity that we've been presented with immediately is the opportunity to actually purchase the building that we've been renting for the past many years. So we're looking forward to what's going to unfold with that situation.
Now, Matt, statistically, you guys are seeing, what is it, like close to 200 women a day that are coming in for their checkups and, you know, to get tested?
We do probably a minimum. The girls, the midwives, do a minimum of 20,000 prenatal exams every year. So there's literally 20,000 women who walk through our gate into our clinic every year.
Oh my goodness! Now, obviously,
the numbers
not all
are quite high.
Obviously, not all those are birthing at your clinic. So there, some of them are going on to the local hospitals and such. But that's quite a load, to say the least. To back up, and then I want to talk a little bit more about Afghanistan, because I think if we expose ourselves to things that are going on, because we always hear, I mean, we get bombarded here in the States for, you know, give money for this group and for this, and because these people are in need, and the amount of money that just irritates me to no end that's spent on cancer research and research for different diseases and things like that. I'm like, why don't we try prevention and we can quit wasting all this money? But anyways, that's a whole soapbox thing of mine. But for us to have the opportunity to be involved in something like what you're doing, you talked about the amount of people, these ladies that are coming in, and these, you said the poorer situations that are taking place there. Why Afghanistan? Statistically, I know from what you had shared that the longevity rate, or the age expectation. What is the words I'm looking for?
Afghanistan, of all of the countries in the world, Afghanistan has the world's highest maternal death rate, and I believe that the average age of death, if I remember correctly, I think is 42, which means that most children who born and survive never get to identify nor interact with a grandparent.
42 is the average life expectancy.
I believe, yes, some very close to that age.
Okay, and I know that in an email that you sent us, the percentage, is it 20% that don't see their fifth birthday?
Yes, that's correct. I think it's 1 in 5 children never see their fifth birthday.
Okay, and the percentage of actual births that take place in a facility is really, really low.
Exactly, yeah. And what's even more of a travesty than that is that most births that happen in Afghanistan are not accompanied by a trained healthcare worker.
Okay. So these are just taking place in people's homes and just with
right.
The neighbor next door or a I love the way that you said it earlier, that, you know, by showing an act of kindness rather than preaching at people or telling people. And, you know, it's like my favorite quote from, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, when he said, you know, preach the gospel in everything you do, use words if necessary. Our actions definitely speak louder, and our lives lived out and living out balance will definitely will speak volumes, because I've seen people who have, you know, in Nikan, they say, well, I'll do that later, you know, I'll have time for that later, and their lives are so out of balance that a few years' time, and I can even target people that are in business with us today, and I can say, you know, a few years from now, they won't be with us, and people say, oh, how can you say that, because they're such great leaders. I'm like, then they're out of balance. You know, their marriage is suffering. They look at their kids and look at where they're spending their money. They're just out of balance. It's not the philosophy of what, you know, this company is all about. Now, what you guys are working towards, and I'll try and finish it up with this, is that you have the opportunity to purchase the building. And a lot of people think, well, you know, how could I even be a part of that, because I can't give $1,000 or $10,000 in writing a check. And yet every little bit helps. I know for my parents and Stacy and I, we've committed 1% of our income over the next, several months. 1% of our Nikan income will be going to the purchase of that building. And you guys raised $20,000 right now, and I guess it's the owner had agreed to carry the contract, and he's asking a total of how much for that facility?
Actually, the total cost is right near $200,000. It's about, I think it's about 6,000 square feet near that. It's actually a very large three-story concrete structure. And we really had an amazing opportunity that honestly is quite unprecedented, especially for the Philippines, in that the owner has offered to carry the contract interest-free for 2 years. Technically, the selling price was 10 million pesos, which is about $217,000. He asked for 1 million pesos down payment, which was 10%. Which was about $20,000, very near, and just asked us to have it paid off in 2 years. And so, and the reason being is he immigrated to Canada and approached us and asked us if we'd be willing to buy the clinic, and we thought a lot about it and felt it was an opportunity. And he just granted us just a lot of kindness from him. So we've got 2 years. Actually, I signed the papers about 2 weeks ago, and we've got 2 years from this time to pay off the building.
Well, Matt, we want to, our commitment to you is as part of the wellness challenge, which is what I'm calling it, I want to challenge and encourage people to do more. Do something that you may never have the chance to see with your own eyes, to be a part of this. And I just picked up yesterday 200 copies of a DVD that Stacy co-produced with a lot of the shots that they took while they were there, some of the clinic and some while they were in Indonesia on McKenna's trip. And it's an incredible just 4-minute piece that highlights what is taking part there. And anybody who donates anything, we're going to put one of those in the mail to you. So what I want to encourage folks to do is jot me an email, and then we'll get you one of the DVDs, and we'll tell you how to, you know, basically you just write your checks out to New Life and send them to P.O. Box 225, and that's Corbett, Oregon, 97019, and we will in turn route them to the right place to get them into Matt and Chris's accountant, so the funds get transferred all the way to the Philippines. So, and again, if you have questions, don't hesitate to email us, and if you've got something specific, we can pass it on to Matt as well. But our email address is vsrogers995@aol.com. And we want to get people, the literally something visual so you can see it hands-on, and that's for anybody that wants to be a part of that. Stacy sat last night and packaged up all the, I think there was 140 of them that are ready to go out in the mail right now, and Matt, one of those is going to be on its way to you guys, so you'll have it in a few days' time. Just a simple little DVD that allows people to see it, and there's a letter that goes with it that explains what McKenna's latest mission is, and that is to help you guys buy that facility. And I think if we all did our part, I mean, I can run the numbers and say, you know, people, you know, each person just did $10 a month, what that equates out to. But I think if we all, you know, reach into our wallets and say, well, you know, we can do more. And that, you know, I think that's the greatest thing about the whole concept of the five pillars. You know, healthy mind, body, family, finances, and society. If we just say to ourselves, can we do a little more? Can we adopt the Oscar Schindler mentality from the movie Schindler's List? You know, I visited his cemetery, or the cemetery where he's buried in Jerusalem. He's one of the few non-Jewish people buried in that cemetery, and the reason why is because he's regarded as a hero to the people, because he, what was it, Schindler's List, he saved like 900 Jewish people during World War II, and at the very end of the movie, the heart-wrenching part of the movie is when he said, you know, I could have bought one more, you know, if I would have done this, I could have saved one more life. What can we do, you know, as Nikan Wellness Consultants, what can we do to change more people's lives? And I'm not just talking about giving money. I'm talking about what are the things that we're doing with our lives right now that, you know, we could share Nikan with others, and maybe in turn, you know, down the road, somebody would end up in the Philippines or in Afghanistan or India or in Africa working at a maternity clinic because we were connected with someone who was already doing it. And, you know, for Stacy and I, having the opportunity to be networked with Matt and Chris all these years, and then last September to see all the new inductees, the new students do their orientation here at our home and staying with my folks, but to see them completely green was a wonderful opportunity for us because we got to see them firsthand before they even went to the Philippines. And Matt, according to Stacy and McKenna, they're still doing pretty well, I guess.
They're doing wonderful. They're just amazing. We're very impressed. It was all because of that orientation at your beautiful home.
Yeah, that must have been the spectacular view from our porch and then seeing all the waterfalls.
That's right.
In orbit. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's about a life change. And Matt, I love you guys' philosophy that every person has a story, and that if we'll take the time to listen, you know, it really does make a difference. Matt, if there's one thing that you'd want to leave us with to encourage us to do more, what would it be? Because I mean, you guys, again, you guys are right there in the trenches. You got a lot of pressure. We never even talked about the Outland Adventure ropes course that you facilitate, and that's been going for several years now. I mean, you got a lot of irons in the fire. You shared before, keeping relationships strong, so if there was one thing that you would challenge and encourage us to live a life of balance, what would it be?
Well, I think, in my opinion, I mean, I can give a lot of advice to people, but I like to listen to people's stories, and I have found that of all of the people in the world, I think that Americans have this tremendous capacity to help other people, and I think that a lot of people want to give, they want to help, they want to encourage, but they really don't have an avenue to pursue that. And I would just encourage people to try to identify an actual avenue that they can try to reach out and to help people, and just wake up each day knowing that we have the opportunity to make that day purposeful.
Oh, good. Well, Matt, again, I want to thank you for staying up late and for calling us all the way from the Philippines. It's been an honor and a joy to have you on the call. And
my privilege.
And we'll see if we can't have a little mortgage document, or whatever you call that, you know, deed burning.
A burning.
Yeah, there
yeah.
we go. to get that facility paid off and get things up and running so you guys can launch into other countries is a core belief that, you know, as Matt said, if we can live our lives by doing rather than speaking, and a lot of what we have the opportunity of going into other people's homes, sharing wellness with people really means living our lives, not much talking about it. So I want to encourage everybody to do that. So thank you again for taking part of the call, for donating part of your Saturday morning, and we'll look forward to talking to you guys all next week. So have a great, wonderful 4th of July, celebrating the freedom that we have in this country, and America's birthday, and we'll talk to you guys next Saturday.